It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Brussel in Carmel, California. It's broadcast number 525, December 27th, 1981. This is the last Sunday of 1981, an incredible year. The year for me began December the 7th with the murder of John Lennon. That was the official announcement that Ronald Reagan would be taking oath of office in January 20th, just shortly afterwards. They would have eliminated a person he couldn't stand when he was the governor of California. As a matter of fact, there were demonstrations against the atomic bombs and weapons, neutron weapons, in Europe just a few weeks ago. And this week, Ronald Reagan made the sarcastic remark about people who don't want the bombs. He said, this is just a rerun of the 60s of the anti-war movement. Just get out the pictures, and it's the same old kind of confrontation. And he put it down. A new generation has come along, but these are the same old kinds of people, so it's a rerun of the old movies. The year began December the 7th, 1980, with the murder of John Lennon, and it winds up with Mr. Paul Marcinkus of the Vatican becoming a cardinal. The Pope is going to make him a cardinal. He's called El Gorilla. He's the bodyguard, the banker, the thief who is gotten the Vatican into a debt of $26 million a year that they're losing. He's linked to Michael Sindona, the financier, who's in the jail in New York for disappearing act of $45 million from the Franklin National Bank. And Michael Sindona, the lawyer and financier for the banks of the Vatican who worked with Marcinkus, was also charged on a murder charge. He was over in Italy killing judges and people who had information on his case. And he's linked to Licio Gelli, who's now hiding in Argentina with dual citizenship in Italy and Argentina, who wanted a fascist government in Argentina. When Marcinkus becomes a cardinal, it's time to say, hey, what's going on the past year in 1981? We can't go forward to 1982. I think I should just do a rerun of the tapes, maybe taking each week of 1981 one more week into 1982. Let's relive 1981. It was so crazy, and it went so fast. There were 52 major stories, 52 unfinished investigations, 52 uninvestigated murders. I don't think people can even assimilate a fraction of what is coming out across the printed news media, particularly the printed, the 10 papers that I take a day and the clippings I get from other papers and the books and the magazines and the exposés. There's little news coming out on the radio, but mostly it's coming in the printed media, and some from shortwave. I have a friend who has shortwave, listens to Moscow every night in other countries. There's something coming over there, but very little on the air in this country. But I had several choices for this evening. One is to go ahead on part three on the Richard Allen connections to Robert Vesco and the murder of John Lennon. But, you know, Richard Allen's back page news already. He's been cleared of taking the $1,000 from his friends from Japan and putting it in his desk. And the Justice Department was absolutely right. It was probably $1 million, so he didn't take $1,000 and not report it. They were right, and nobody's lying about what the conclusions were. But Richard Allen is back page news, and this week, Gaddafi and the assassination teams are taking a Christmas vacation. They're in the back page news, and Mubarak has released Sadat's enemies out of the jail, even though that was an acknowledged conspiracy of many levels. Those trials, we saw them in the cage one night on the evening news at the first day of their trial. That's on the back burners. And I thought I would just maybe run through tonight some of the 1981 stories, sort of whatever happened to these people and why don't we know more, and just see what kind of a year it was. Take the hour this evening or the 55 minutes left and see some of the top stories, some of the important deaths and what happened in 1981. For those of you who subscribe to these cassettes that are taped off the air that go out every Monday morning, I'm not going to include a sheet with this tape cassette this week. I'm going to index not every minute name, but the major events that accompanies this broadcast. For those of you that take it by subscription, And I'm going to take 2 or 3 weeks to index the past 52 sheets that accompany the cassettes so that you can look up certain subjects. And I'll mail it to you in several weeks from now. I didn't have time with the Christmas holidays to do that, and I decided that would be a nice thing to do so that you could look up certain names and events and deaths. So I'll get that out to you within a few weeks. Well, as I say, December the 7th, 1980 was a Sunday night. And on that particular broadcast, I was saying last year that the assassination teams from the early 60s, just as Ronald Reagan says the peace people of the 60s are meeting, the assassination teams are all in place. And if they're not part of the murders, they were part of the cover-ups. So I warned, get ready for deaths in 1981. The major deaths that took place, or the attempted deaths, was the shooting of Ronald Reagan, which still the unexplained, no trial yet of John Hinckley Jr. They've spent $40,000 on his security or more. The trial will begin soon. They changed the judge. There's been hanky-panky in the courts. His links to the Nazi Party, to the far right wing in this country, have been covered so far. They're now admitting that he had rifle training practice in Colorado, which I acknowledge. I had that also on the tape within 2 weeks of the shooting of Ronald Reagan, that he was trained in rifle training in Colorado. That was just in the news this week. I mentioned that early in 1981, or the second to last week in 1980. I mentioned this assassination team, of course. In March was the attempt on Ronald Reagan, and in May was the attempt on the Pope with Ajaz link, again to the CIA, to Germans and Nazis, the werewolves in Frankfurt, Germany, and Spain. All over Europe, he's closely linked to a conspiracy, which the Italians admit. We don't admit that, but they admit that he is part of a conspiracy. And then there were several attempts to kill the King and Queen of Spain this year that were averted. Sadat was killed by members of the CIA working with Mubarak and making a successful takeover of Egypt. President Torres of Panama was killed, and President Roldos of Ecuador were both blown up in plane crashes. And they were carefully linked to the international narcotics traffic and Robert Vesco and Richard Allen and the Ronald Reagan administration, as well as the Jimmy Carter administration and the Georgia Mafia. Those planes blew up and those leaders were killed. There was assassination attempt on Mrs. Gandhi. And later in the year, we covered the various murders and the near murders, the attempts, and the assassins, the people who tried to kill those that did survive, and their links to the CIA. And again, to those very people that I mentioned on December the 7th, 1980, that were in place. And then Monday evening, 24 hours after my broadcast here in KLRB, John Lennon was murdered. And the next 3 weeks, I did a three-part series on the killing of John Lennon and the places that Mark David Chapman had been visiting. And then this last few weeks, I've been making the links to Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, Samuel Cummings, Richard Allen, and the CIA connections to Mark David Chapman in the countries that he visited in the military bases, such as Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and Beirut, Lebanon, and his trip around the world to Japan, South Korea, and India, Israel, London, Paris, Switzerland, and so forth. I had in those broadcasts right after the Lennon shooting, the murder, some of the activities of Mark David Chapman from Georgia and his itinerary, close itinerary, that was broadcast in December 1980, December the 20th, and I had predicted the night before that the assassination teams were ready and organized and, of course, documented in the cities that this fellow had been to, and now I'm updating it with the links to the intelligence community, the evidence that's come out during the past year. That three-part series of after the Lennon murder, I gave suggestions of things people could do. They called and wrote letters, and I'm still getting requests for tape cassettes on the John Lennon murder. University of Michigan wanted it this week, and they want a tape. I said I've done six so far, and I even hesitate to write to them because wanting the information is one thing, and being able to do something with it is another. A lot of people are interested in these subjects, but they can't assimilate it or put it in any context in which they can function to make any changes in society other than just learning the facts. It's very difficult to make that giant leap from learning the information to making any kind of change. In January of 1981, I talked about the links of Angola and Jonestown to the CIA and Philip Blakey, who worked as a CIA agent in Angola. I talked about Robert Vesco, the heat is on, and he was being chased out of the Bahamas. And, of course, later at the end of this year, we learned how Richard Allen has an apartment and close dealings. We knew that at the time, his confirmation hearings as National Security Council chief, his links to Robert Vesco. But here's a man very closely linked to the world's largest narcotics traffic, to Frank Turple, to Libya, to Gaddafi, to Idi Amin in Uganda, and Carlos the terrorist. And Vesco is very much part of the entire Republican and Democratic Party. He worked with Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter, and whether it is the Republicans or Democrats, our presidents are reduced to a turf war of the narcotics profits. It reduces itself to that. And in January, I talked about the Jonestown CIA operations and Robert Vesco and his links to the assassination teams. I also mentioned a year ago the relationship of Richard Allen in Portugal and his contacts as the head of Portuguese affairs covering up massacres of the CIA. Jack Anderson had that last week in his newspaper. We had on KLRB 1 year ago. And in January a year ago, Tim Hardin died. He was one of the many musicians who died during this year. There are fewer of the well-known rock musicians of the 60s that are dying. There was that trial of the doctor of Elvis Presley. Of course, he got off. His attorney is an attorney for the Watergate case, for the Watergate defendants. And the doctor had unnecessary drugs, and they obviously killed Elvis, but he got off completely free. And I also mentioned last January the role of the FBI in the Jimi Hendrix murder and new papers and documents on the links to Jimi Hendrix. I talked about Reverend Moon and his relationship to international drug traffic and also the CIA. And now there's been a court case coming up, and Reverend Moon himself asked for his papers on the CIA, and Justice Warren Burger turned them down, because then that would blow open many links of Moon to the Nazis, to his being brought to this country, to Atlanta, Georgia, through the Coca-Cola and Lockheed and military connections, and the role of Reverend Moon into the military and the brainwashing of America's middle-class children, and having them follow him at a great risk to their lives, but a good experiment into mind control. Before the inauguration began, January the 11th, on this program, I talked about the links of the mob, the organized crime, to Ronald Reagan, and now his Secretary of Labor is under investigation, Donovan. There's going to be a special prosecutor. He had to pull back his representative to Ireland. He has had various cabinet people linked, associated to the mob. He made an appointment of a man for immigration service from Florida who had to resign before his confirmation hearing because of his mob connections. He has many links to organized crime, of course, and before the inauguration took place on January the 11th, we talked about the links of the administration of Ronald Reagan with Frank Sinatra to Sam Giancana and Lucky Luciano and the entire mob, Carlo Gambino family, and organized crime. And the mob connections, of course, go right from Vesco to the head of the National Security Council, Richard Allen. He's been cleared by the Justice Department of the money in his safe that he got from his Japanese friends, but I seriously doubt if he'll be head of the National Security Council, again, partly because he used Nancy Reagan as the cover for his operations, and that is what she objected to, and that's what the president objects to, that she was the front or the excuse for whatever transactions took place. I brought up the subject of last January of a triple murder in Santa Barbara that has been covered up. You don't hear a word about it. It was a very important triple murder, Giovanni Schoeman, Cornelius Maul, and Kimberly Roberts. Again, it had to do with diamond connections, South Africa, London, Germany, South America, a scandalous triple murder that has been carefully concealed. I thought there would be more investigative work on it. There was one article, The New West, but again, whatever happened to the case of the three murdered people at the art gallery in near Santa Barbara? I talked about the psychiatrist remarked, David Chapman, Dr. Diamond, who had hypnotized Sirhan. Sirhan Chapman was then in jail for killing John Lennon. And another psychiatrist who testified and hypnotized Chapman at the trial has now been charged with a fraud. He didn't have the degrees he said he had. He could come in and hypnotize the man who shot John Lennon. And now he's under investigation because of his credentials. He was lying about that. There were some new books I brought up last January, and continuously through these broadcasts, I've suggested different titles. One was Hitler, the Survival Myth, another, The Spider Web by Joseph Persico, and another book, The Pope, the Premier, and the President. That's Pope John the 23rd, Khrushchev, and John Kennedy. John died in the spring of 63, Kennedy in the fall of 63, and Khrushchev was removed from office. The three of them were very close, and then they were all out of office, and d'entente was over, and the name of the game after November 63 was World War III, Let's Get Going. Another book I suggested, the first of last year, was The Great Heroin Coup, which is a good book, written by a fellow in Europe, Heinrich Kruger, in case you haven't read it. I had a guest on this program, Bill Kaysing, who wrote a book, We Never Went to the Moon, and there is a new edition of that book out if you want to read it. And also, I brought up last January the Lindbergh baby hoax and how Bruno Hauptmann was charged with the murder of the Lindbergh baby, and he didn't do it. And in the past year, just a year later, they have released information about Bruno Hauptmann, and the consensus is that he was, in fact, framed, that he didn't kill the Lindbergh baby. And we were talking about that about 9-10 months before it came out in the news. There is a new book out by Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, and I was showing the comparisons in the mind control LSD programming between David Berkowitz and Mark David Chapman, who shot John Lennon. This was on a broadcast last January, a year ago in 1981, and then later it came out Berkowitz during the year said that he had information about murders out here in California at the Stanford campus, that he had met a person who had met one of the people, the woman killed in the chapel at Stanford. And then there was more news items about Berkowitz not being the man who did all the murders or maybe any of them in New York City, Son of Sam, that there was another person with a gun and maybe Sam didn't do them. I don't doubt that Mark David Chapman shot John Lennon. I also think there was a backup team, as there is in these other murders, and he got away. But I was making comparisons of Chapman to David Berkowitz a year ago. Also, the government Klan complicity in the Greensboro killing we were talking about last January, and the murders and agent provocateurs at the trial of the Nazis and the murders in Greensboro. And then later this year, it came out that a member of the jury was also, it was an anti-Castro Cuban who belonged to a Nazi group of, he was part of the Bay of Pigs operation that was headed by E. Howard Hunt and the famous Edwin Wilson and Theodore Shackley. And the Nazi connections to the jury came through loud and clear, in addition to the provocateurs that set up the murders in Greensboro. A member of the jury was part of the government CIA establishment. The electoral process I put down after the inauguration, January 25th, and talked about the hanky-panky that was going on, and also the role that Brzezinski would have in fomenting trouble in Poland and Afghanistan, and the problems that the Reagan administration would have in handling foreign relations. I also talked about the cabinet that looks like a millionaire's club and listed the millions of dollars of the members of the cabinet that Ronald Reagan put together. And of course, nobody would deny that his administration is a big business administration. I talked about the Mitchell Werbel and Cobra International and the anti-terrorist training, his links in Atlanta, Georgia, and his silencers to the assassination teams. And Werbel's name has been in the news quite a bit. He is now dying of cancer, and he sold his company to a firm in Texas, and they're working with Mr. Beckwith, the man who was so unsuccessful in rescuing the hostages. And these fellows are up to a lot of domestic training for the overthrow of this country and training special forces and people that you see going out as mercenaries. They tried to take Dominica again this week. They weren't successful again. But once they're going to win and get one of these little islands where they can do what they said they wanted to do, which was to print Nazi literature and find a home base for Robert Vesco to become king. Last year in January, Marguerite Oswald died. She went to her death saying that her son was innocent, and it's a shame that more researchers and people never went to her or knew her or used her information. She had a lot of information, and it's now going into a library in Texas. All of her books, all of her documents are going to stay together so that the researchers will be able to go there and look at information. I hope it won't be screened out and taken out for national security, the things that she has about Lee Harvey Oswald. But she had a lot of information, and some of it she was keeping for herself to put in a book that never came out. She passed away last January. Ronald Reagan had his first press conference in February, as soon as he was president, and he accused the Soviet Union leaders of being willing to lie and to cheat and commit various crimes. And then he opened up the White House and entertained the president of South Korea, who killed the former president, Park Chung-hee, at a dinner party and became president himself. And he was entertaining a well-known murderer and accusing the Soviet Union of doing the murdering. There was an important trial in San Francisco that was completely covered up. Darlene June Cromer, she had strangled a little boy, a black boy in Oakland. I talked about that last January, but she talked about working with an aide to Richard Nixon, to being involved with $13 million investment, the Italian mafia, that the killing of black children was something they enjoyed doing. And at the time of her trial, a lot of information came out about the cloak and dagger world, the U.S. Army, the British intelligence, and of course that was all hushed up. It had to do with billions of dollars and killing black people, and she had bragged about only 300 been killed. We also saw the Atlanta, Georgia murders, a string of those that went on, and then they brought in a man who's been in jail 6 months. That trial is about to begin, and the newspapers say there's very slim evidence. The police have reported that they do not have to announce how many children are missing in Atlanta, Georgia. Children are still missing. They're gone, even though this man is going to trial. There are lots of children missing and killed, and they've put a clamp on letting anybody know how many since he was arrested, but they're going on continuously, and they're going with slim pickings to try and pin on this one man who may or may not be like Bruno Hauptmann. But for some reason or other, the black community sits quiet. The black leaders say nothing, just as the Jewish leaders are quiet when the Nazi incidences come up, and Nazis like our Mr. Otto von Bolschwang appear, they say nothing. I really don't quite understand the general indifference that some people can't catch on to some of the events that are going on, whether the young people with the musicians being killed, particularly after John Lennon, or the Jewish organizations with people like Otto von Bolschwang, who worked in the CIA for 30 years, who admits that he set up the program for Adolf Eichmann and persecuted innocent women and children and murdered them and did medical experiments on them and did all kinds of intimidation. He admits this. It's in the newspaper last week, and there's this overall silence. I almost thought this evening to wind up the year by just raising the TV guide of the movies that are on TV this week. There is so much entertainment. There are so many movies. There are so many distractions that it is impossible for people to say, I'm going to sit and read this book, or I'm going to listen to this talk show and call up, or I'm going to write this letter to the editor. There is just a mass of entertainment, and it is a stroke of genius to give people satellite TV, satellite sports, satellite plays, movies without interruption, because they have the average home statistically has 4 hours of television every single night or day. 4 hours in every single home in America, and for those that don't have it, the others have 8 or 12. And that is the kind of mesmerizing that goes into the minds of American people so they can't assimilate a lot of this information. In February, Harold Smith appeared. This was the Wells Fargo story. Remember how important the Wells Fargo Bank was? He said it involved $200 to $300 million missing. It involved Muhammad Ali and trips to Australia and Hong Kong and the CIA and the Newgate Bank in Australia. This was a big story. Well, Harold Smith is having what you would call a mini trial, just a little trial in Los Angeles. It stops and starts. I take the LA Times. You can't make any headway of it. They don't bring up anything about Muhammad Ali or their trips of Harold Smith and Ali to Guyana right after Jonestown. And when the story first broke, it had to do with an oil company in Angola that was going to give Harold Smith $80,000, it was, on a regular basis through the Wells Fargo Bank. And I don't know if that bank there, the country of Angola, was linked to one of the countries that Richard Allen was involved in when he was involved with Mozambique and, in quotes, other African countries. But this Wells Fargo case involves Caesar's World, which is the Frank Sinatra connections and the Gulf Western and the Madison Square Garden and the boxing world. It was a huge scandal, and it was out in the news for 3 to 4 weeks, and I had maybe 60 or 80 files on the Wells Fargo. And then suddenly everything was quiet. Muhammad Ali was kept under control, he said, by the CIA. They were watching every move he made. And simultaneously, there was a story about Sir Y.K. Powell from Hong Kong. And last February, almost a year ago, I did a broadcast here on this about him, and he was on 60 Minutes just about 2 weeks ago. D.A. Jensen from California was appointed by Ronald Reagan to a high justice post in February of 81. I talked about that, and he was the strong law and order man who covered up the SLA and their links to the CIA, to the free speech movement in Berkeley. He was working in California with Edwin Meese III and Ronald Reagan with Operation Chaos and the COINTEL program. And Reagan was to make him the assistant U.S. Attorney General in charge of criminal division last February. Well, Jensen got to Washington and is the assistant U.S. Attorney General of the criminal division, and he closed all offices in Texas, of all places, for organized crime, for investigation of narcotics. They're closing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They're letting the mob have control of every major city, and he's the man in charge of the investigation of Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, and George Corcola. So the thieves handed over the entire operation to a man who was part of the destruction of law and order in California, who set up COINTEL operations, that is counterintelligence operations, and who covered up the San Quentin Six trial, the Soledad brothers. He was in Oakland and in that area when they were making a lot out of the Black Panther Party and Eldridge Cleaver and Huey Newton and a bunch of funky dope-dealing, cocaine-sniffing black radicals who came out and became, you know, our establishment representatives, I think. Eldridge Cleaver has now joined the Mormon Church and running for mayor of Oakland. But Jensen, in February, was pointed to a position of power by Ronald Reagan. He brought his California scum back to Washington, and now they're turning their back on the crimes that are linked to the past and are continuing to be exposed in little bits and pieces. In February, the end of February last year, we did quite a few broadcasts on the importance of the Newgate Bank in Australia. There's a big article in New York News by Joe Voltz on bank failure stuns ex-CIA military men. This is the New York News on the Pacific Holding Company in Australia, the links to Air America, to the CIA, to William Colby, Frank Newgate's murder, drug traffics, outright cocaine, heroin traffic of the CIA, and the taking of $55 million to $1 billion that's floating around and missing. There were several good articles on Newgate Bank this last year, and I covered every single one of them on this program, and they also funded Michael Townley down in Chile and Colonial Dignidad, the Nazis in Argentina and Chile, and the torturing that has been going on linked to the murder of Salvador Allende and later Orlando Letelier. The Letelier case has been covered up. The Karen Silkwood case was negated this last week. There's still a lawsuit on the murder of Karen Silkwood. The Nugent Hand case is in limbo. The whole year it was shut up. The Michael Sindona story, oh yeah, he tried to escape. I forgot, in February last year, Sindona was on the balcony of the Metropolitan Correctional Center. The financier of the Vatican, who has been charged with murder and so forth, he's with one of the largest drug dealers in the United States, Robert Weiler, and the helicopter couldn't rescue the two of them. The drug dealer from New York and New Jersey with the financier of the Vatican, a lawyer, a financier, robber, manipulator of funds, working with the Pope and the international fascists. When the helicopter got up there, they forgot to bring the wire cutters. Make a marvelous movie, but Sindona's up on the balcony with Weiler, and the helicopter had to leave. Weiler and Sindona were both mixed with the Carlos Gambino family, the links of the Vatican to the mob, and the escape didn't work. Weiler's still in jail, and so is Sindona. And I guess the helicopter driver got pretty frustrated because he forgot to bring his wire cutters. But he had a couple of big guys on the balcony, and it was pretty funny the way it failed. I covered from end of February and March the Wells Fargo case and then the Valerie McDonald story, another big story that has been covered up. San Francisco Chronicle Examiner front page, CIA linked to the curious case, the mystery of the disappearing actress. 9-10 months later this week, there's an update that I'll get into details with you in a few weeks on Valerie McDonald. It had to do with money going down to weapons in El Salvador, with the CIA, with drug dealing, with the Japanese mafia, with the Vatican, with Rome, with the United Nations. It was a scandal that touched international bases at many places. And the story of Valerie McDonald has been quiet for the last 10 months. We'll take a one-minute break and go back to some of the scandals that have still been kept secret for this past year, and maybe we should just go back and review them for a while.